value what I've learned at IBOPS, you know.
What have you learned?
That you can do it. You know, when you say, what's the greatest lesson you've learned? You can do it.
I can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any of us. You can do it. What's holding you back?
What do you think the difference is between those who do and those who don't?
Well, I think it's fear, but you just have to be dumb enough to do it. It is true. You have to be, if you are too smart, you will analyze the risk to death. And there's something else that makes you go over the edge.
What is it? Is it gut? What is it?
Your glass is half full. It's optimism. It's I can do it. It's not knowing you can fail. It's ignoring the possibility that you can fail. Do you know what I mean? It really is. How many people told me that first year, oh, wow, I can't believe you're doing that.
So you had lots of naysayers in the beginning.
Right. And I think that's one thing that whenever I'm asked to give a talk or anything, or advice to young entrepreneurs, stay away from the naysayers. There are people everywhere that will burst your bubble. Don't hang out with them. Mm. That's the beauty of sitting at that WPO table. I don't have the same business. I don't have the same IQ. I don't have the same this, that, or the other, but there's something we have in common. I think that my whole life, it's like that. My mom reinforced it. You're in a small town. There are 52 in your class. Hell, why not be the homecoming queen? You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't know that those things aren't possible.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, for these kids that end up in a class of 1,000, I'm so sorry. I really am. I am so sorry.
You know,
because
I think there's...
the likelihood you're going to stand out at anything is pretty nil.
That's interesting.
I learned to play golf.
So interesting.
In high school. I was on the golf team. Why? Because only 3 girls went out and they needed a fourth. I was
so
on the golf team.
Right. Not because you were dying to play golf.
Nope. You know.
Gotta have a fourth and you're it.
And I was it. So I think growing up in that small environment, that was good for me. And especially, you know, if you... I think that can be deadly if you just stay there. I think it can be wonderful if you leave, and I think it can be even more wonderful if you leave and go back. You know what I mean?
Right, because, yeah, and you've got some wisdom behind
you've
it,
got some
too.
Wisdom
because you can finally get some perspective.
Yeah.
Did you run away from your small town? Did you want
to? Oh, I knew that I always wanted to ride my bike on blacktop. I grew up on a farm. I wanted to be with my friends. You know, what was more isolating than being on a farm? So... I think that's some of that is coming back now though with IBOPS. I've been living in that small town.
In the IBOPS world.
I created my small town.
Gotcha.
And
that's your community.
Yeah, that's my community. And I have loved that. Thank you. But somebody with a different experience may not take as seriously as I do about or did making payroll, giving those people a career. Making sure that they were never part of the unemployed through faults of my own, you know.
Which is a lovely thing, you know.
Well, I think it's definitely, I don't know that the CEO of a large company, now I'm not saying 3M, but, you know.
A bigger
company, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're getting rid of that division. They're consolidating this.
It's a line item.
Yeah, it's a line
versus
item.
A human being.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think you were asking some questions here about to what do you attribute your success? My staff. You know, you go in, I was there on Sunday, somebody was working. If I say, can you work tonight? Never do they say no. They just don't. Maybe that's because we're from Minnesota.
Maybe. And it could be the community you've made.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And the other half of that question is Paul Erickson, but you know what that bias is. What's the greatest lesson you've learned? You can do it.
Mm-hmm.
What are you learning now? Following is harder than leading. But it's hard to start following. It really is. How has failure shaped your life? It's fear of failure that shaped my life.
So you don't want to fail ever?
Yeah.
Do you feel like you ever have?
Sure.
And what did you learn when you did? I don't want to do it again?
I think in some ways it's why I'm a success at being an entrepreneur. When I have failed previously, I've stayed too long, kept trying, and I should have left.
What do you consider a failure? I'm not saying you have to talk about one necessarily, but I'm like, what would that be?
Not being at the top.
Ah, because in a small town, you always were.
See, there's the curse. Don't feel it. That's not true. Who inspires me?
Yeah.
Tim Foster, my best friend.
Why?
Oh, he has a wonderful sense of humor. He's creative, dependable, hardworking, just such a great friend to so many people. But he can make something out of nothing. He can just go cut a bunch of crappy flowers and it will be a beautiful bouquet. Just the way he looks at the world. Mm-hmm. It's just so genuine and heartwarming and funny. So damn funny.
You like to laugh.
Yeah. What inspires me? Travel. The food, the shopping, the local habits, the scenery. Everything that all the locals take for granted. You know, they're not going out to see all the sights. Is there balance? No. One word answer. Oh, two words. Hell no. One thing you would like people to know about you? Absolutely nothing. I don't want to answer that. Advice for your 20-year-old self.
Yes, we have to have that one.
Don't marry him. Start your own business. Invest in Berkshire Hathaway.
Verbatim.
That whole bullshit about take time to smell the roses. Oh, fuck, I'll be 6 feet under by the time I do that.
You don't have that gene.
I don't have a gene. No, I really meant don't marry and start a business. Yeah. Invest in Berkshire Hathaway. That really was.
Be patient. Take time.
Be patient.
God.
And yet, being impatient might be the greatest gift of all, you know?
And why is that?
Well, because it makes you do things. Makes you continue on. You're impatient. Nobody else will do it as fast as you will. You're not going to wait for somebody else to do it. You got to get it done.
So, but earlier you said, so this is where I go, is this one of those double entendres or double bind? Because you said, you know, failure was staying too long when I shouldn't have kept going, and yet the naysayers told you with iBobs, this will never go, you know, what are you thinking, etc. So there's somewhere where it works and somewhere where it doesn't. How do you know?
Oh, you don't. You really don't.
So you're going to stay sometimes when it's too long, mm-hmm. and you're going to not stay mm-hmm. when you should have, maybe, and mm-hmm. we'll never know.
How do you measure success? The bar keeps moving. It's unbelievable to me.
So say more about that. Where was it? Where is it?
How do you measure success? It's the first sale. No. It's the first 100 pieces. No. It's the first year. If I'm open a year, no. It's when I hire my first employee. No. It's when you just keep moving the bar. It's when I sell. No. You just keep redefining what success is. And I think that, too, keeps you, you know, that impatience that I'll get to the next thing. What was it? Actually, Amy Zaroff said it best. We're almost there. What was that thing she said? We're almost
and
there.
Then,
where is
yeah,
there?
Where is there? We're past it. We went past there. And I didn't even celebrate. What do you think is underneath that? Like if we sat and, you know, why the next thing? Why
when
the next
enough.
Challenge?
When it's enough, we'll be at the funeral home. I mean, really.
But it's not about money necessarily.
It has nothing. Well, sometimes it has to do with
right,
money.
But
you
I
like
mean,
to pay the bills. You like right. to meet payroll. You like
right.
to
But I'm no happier right now when I have more than when I wasn't. Like, I was doing the same kinds of things. It's at what scale or at what restaurant or, you know what I mean?
I don't know. When I think about that, there are two things that in my life, if I have time, I never had money.
Right.
And so now I have money. Why don't I have any time? What qualities do you look for when hiring a new person? Integrity. Self-starter, sense of humor. But that whole thing about trust is, how would you describe your leadership style?
Yeah.
Two heads are better than one. You probably have a great idea. Who am I to say? Let's, you know. And I don't think of that as idea stealing. I think that is collaboration.
Mm-hmm. When you did that, what were the biggest benefits of, you know, bring me an idea, let's...
Buy in.
Yeah.
They've already bought in. It's their idea. Help to support each other. My idea this time, your idea that time, mutual support. My best go-to source of inspiration, travel, Amsterdam, Hong Kong, Cologne, Stockholm, Wisconsin. And then how do you recharge? Laughing with friends. I think, you know, that's, think about the times we've been together when we've just laughed and laughed. Oh, how much
that's
energy
all
you
do.
Get that from, yeah. From that. It's really terrific. But I think, we go back and really talk about this. The advice for your 20-year-old self is the essence of it. Oh my God. With age comes wisdom. All of that, all those stupid things your mother told you. Oh yeah, Mom, these are best friends of my life. Oh yeah, they are the best friends of my life.
They're you know? Still here.
Yeah, all those little things. But about selling iBobs, I think the article really should be more about you can stay. It's not that you can go back home. It's not going to be the way it used to be. Once you sell it, you can't go back. But it can change with you, or it can change without you. What's one piece of advice you can give women? You're a business person, not a businesswoman. Don't look for the bias, because you'll find them. It's just a distraction from the business at hand. You know, because we can sit here all day. I didn't get a break.
Right.
What are you going to do with that? You're never going to get you out of your mess. Or it's just that I think I knew my reader wearers so well, that I know my wearers so well. I know those broads. I know those guys. I know, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They've got moxie. They've got... chutzpah, they want to feel fashionable, it's a terrific accessory, and I think other people don't quite understand that, the power that you get from it, the confidence that you can have from it.
What will the brand be when and if you choose to no longer be the keeper of that? I mean, how does that get preserved? Or how does the legacy go on then, if you're not there?
A couple of ways. One, there's still staff there to help with that. I think the wearers themselves get to vote.
So it's getting them involved.
Right.
Cool.
If we change too much, they'll stop buying.
Right.
And you'll have their vote. So I think that's really, from the creative side, that's it. If you're... brand gets watered down, your buyer changes.
Mm-hmm. As you get big, do you think that there are that many more iBobbers out there?
Mm-hmm.
And you just haven't tapped them all and gotten to them?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's capturing all of them along the
mm-hmm.
way.
Yeah. Brand awareness is something that isn't big. We have fanatical fan base, but they all know about iBobs.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting beyond that base.
Right.
The next,
it's the next iteration.
Layer. Yeah, it's the next iteration.
And so in the next iteration of iBobs, then, as it's big as well as great, and it's been small, you know, and great as well as big and a different version of that, and you go on to the what's next for you besides a nice home in Wisconsin.
I'll let you know when I get there.
That's a good ending.